Welcome to CRE Radio with Howard Klein, radio for and about the commercial real estate professional. Our focus is exploring issues facing landlords and tenants, property and asset managers, investors, brokers, lenders, and everyone in the industry. Our style is conversation over coffee with highly experienced commercial real estate professionals. Over 35 years, Howard's legal and commercial real estate practice has centered on broker, leasing, and property management issues. CRE Radio is presented with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our audience. Access our archive shows, upcoming schedule, and engaging articles at creradio.com or subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching for CRE Radio. And now, here's Howard Klein.
Hello, this is Howard Klein. I'm your host of CRE Radio, and today's topic is the art of balance. Our featured guests are Miriam Bouget, Amy Slattery, and Barbie Reuter. Barbie, did I pronounce your name right? In case you haven't listened, I'm notorious at mispronouncing names.
Thanks.
Was I correct?
Thanks for asking. It's Reuter.
Reuter. Okay. Well, I'm going to probably make that mistake a couple of more times. I probably should have warned you in advance. Reuter. I'll try to work on that. Our call-in number is 619-393-6492. That is 619-393-6492. You can call in and listen to the show live. If you want to leave a comment or ask a question, press 1 to talk. You could also reach us and ask us questions. I am monitoring our Twitter account at use the @ CRE Radio, or you can go online on our website at www.creradio.com and leave a comment directly on our website and the page for this show. So I know I'm going to be getting a little warning sign from one of my engineers giving me that actual page. Today's show is the art of balance, and what we will be talking about is the balance that women have to face balancing career and family. And all three of my guests have families, and recognizing that my own wife has to deal with this issue, not to mention me, I'm not sure that I can understand how women do this. So why don't we start out with a brief introduction of each of our guests, and I'm going to ask each guest to give us, say, a 30-second description of who they are and what they do. Why don't we start out with Barbie? Barbie, why don't you give us your 30-second elevator speech?
Thanks. Howard, I'm in Tucson, Arizona with Cushman & Wakefield PICOR. We're a independently owned member of the Cushman & Wakefield Alliance Network. I'm in the COO role here. I am a married mother and stepmother of four kids in four generations, which is an interesting place to be. And I'd say I'm on this show because I've had doors opened for me, and I'm at a chance, a place in my career where I can do that for others. And frankly, you lit a fire for me last year on a show you did that inspired me to do a little more research. I really realized the depth of some of the misperceptions about progress women have made with regard to pay, equity, and leadership, and have applied some of that to our local crew chapter here, Commercial Real Estate Women. We can talk more about that later.
Wow. Well, thank you. Amy? Why don't you give us your 30-second speech?
Okay, great. I'm Amy Slattery. I'm here in Kansas City. I'm an architect at Burns & McDonnell. We're an integrated practice of engineers, architects, and constructors here in Kansas City and nationally. I'm currently the CRU Kansas City president. So Barbie and I met actually a couple months ago. We've known each other for a few years through the CRU network, and that's Commercial Real Estate Women. It's a great networking organization around the country. And I've been involved in that about 7 years. I've been in this conversation about women both in the commercial real estate industry and in architecture really since 2005. We started an organization here in Kansas City called Women in Design. And then through that, we've been having conversations nationally with the American Institute of Architects, both through the Women's Leadership Summit series and the Diversity Council conversations. So I've presented on the topic of family-friendly policies, a little bit on balance and just women in the profession. And then I'm also a mother. I've got two little ones, a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I'm married to another architect. So balance is kind of a daily issue for my existence. So I'm pleased to talk to you today about it.
Well, thank you very much. And Miriam, it's your turn.
Hi. I'm Miriam Boje. I'm based in Vancouver, Canada. I'm the editor-in-chief for Mall Media, Inc. We specialize in shopping center and general retail marketing. I'm also involved with ICSC. I've been involved as a roundtable leader, as a judge for the Marketing Awards. And I, like Barbie, kind of grew up in an environment where I really was encouraged to pursue whatever path I wanted to pursue. I was able to go and study and pursue my career. And I'm really excited about talking about this topic because this year in particular, I think, Howard, you got me at the right time. I'm not only working full-time, I've got a 12-year-old son. I have a husband who works full-time as well, and I'm also doing my master's right now in communications. So the whole idea of balance is at the forefront of my life every single day. And I'm also the fourth of four girls who all pursued careers, and one of my sisters also has children. So this is a discussion that we have all the time, and I think it's one that's very important, and I'm very glad that you decided to bring it up.
Well, thank you very much, Miriam. I'm very excited about having this conversation now, not just as a host of a commercial real estate radio show, but to answer some questions for myself, because I'm trying to understand everything, and sometimes I only get a little bit of the way there. Also, just to remind anybody, if you'd like to leave a comment, call 619-393-6492. And if you go to our website, either during the show or afterwards, you're able to leave comments directly on the show page, which is creradio.com/balance. So I knew that my engineer would get to me and let me know that. So why don't we start out with the first question, if I might. Now, for my guests, you can butt in anytime you want, as long as we're being courteous to everybody. It makes it a little bit difficult on the radio sometimes because we don't always know when the other person is just taking a breath or they've stopped talking. So, you don't have to wait for a question from me, just so that I know that, because this is more of a conversation than it is a lecture. But I will start it out with, is there a need to balance personal life and aspirations with a career? And let me start out with Miriam. And Miriam, while you're at it, certainly feel free to tell stories and you know, to enlighten all of us and how it relates to some of the issues.
I would start by saying that to me, it's not the word balance is a little bit misleading. I think when I think of balance, I think of something that has found this perfect spot where everything works perfectly. And I think it's not so much finding balance as it is dealing with trade-offs, and they're constant trade-offs. When I was younger, I think I was seeking that balance. So if I went to work, I would put on the worker's cap, I walked in the door in the office, and I was completely absorbed in my work, and as soon as I got home, I would walk through the door, and then I'd put on the mom cap. And I'd think, okay, that's the way to balance things. And I've learned through the years that it's more a question of realizing that you're all of those things all of the time. And depending on where you are, what time of day, what's on your to-do list, you learn to set your priorities so that your trade-offs are trade-offs that you can live with and that you believe bring you sort of to the ultimate mix of experiences that you want to have in your life. So I think it's not so much balancing as it is picking your battles, picking what's important at a certain time and point, and realizing that you're wearing both hats basically all year round, all day long, every day.
Okay. Now, I want to get back to this right away, but unfortunately, or fortunately as the case may be, we're going to take a brief break and we'll be back with our guest to talk more about this issue of whether or not there is a need for balance. And as Miriam says, maybe it's not so, the conversation is not so much balance. So let's take a short break.
The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today. If you need anything with your company logo on it, you need Monogram Magic. T-shirts, ball caps, polo shirts, anything. Monogram Magic does it beautifully, does it right, and does it right on time. For over 20 years, Monogram Magic has produced corporate apparel your people will be proud to wear. Large orders or small, it's all about attention to detail. See for yourself. Here's the website, logostolife.com. That's L-O-G-O-S, the number 2, then L-I-F-E.com. Logostolife.com. For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or via email to questions@CREradio.com.
Hello, welcome back to CRE Radio. We've have as our featured guest, Barbie Reuter.
Reuter,
I got it right. Miriam Bouger and Amy Slattery. And when we just left before the break, we were talking, Miriam was talking about, you know, maybe this discussion isn't so much about balance, but it's maybe picking your battles. Amy, what are your thoughts on that topic?
Well, I used to kind of think about this idea of balancing life and work. And then I thought about it as, well, you know, work is something I do every day. That's kind of part of my life, too. So it's almost more about having fulfillment as a professional and as a mother or a friend. And so in the way I look at it now, it is about this constantly evolving, you know, discourse and effort to reach some sort of satisfaction and some degree of success. And everybody really has to define that for themselves. So whether or not that's success for your career or success for family, those are all personal decisions we have to make. So it is a balancing act for me. But again, that's my perspective where I am now. And there are definitely times when we as a family or we as a, you know, as a design group can feel that we're not quite at equilibrium, that we're either too busy or we need more staff or we've got too many meetings this week and my husband and I need some help. So I think it is this a little bit of a trade-off, but it is kind of trying to keep all of the balls in the air and not letting everything drop.
Oh. I'd love to tag on to that if I can, Howard.
Sure. Who is that? That's Barbie.
It's Barbie. Yeah. Miriam and Amy framed this really beautifully, I think. Trade-offs is certainly one way to put it. Choices. When I started my career, there was a lot of discussion about the superwoman syndrome and trying to do it all and having it all, and the women having it all conversation came up again with some controversy last year in the news. And I, as I'm sure everyone on this panel can relate, often get asked the question, being in a leadership position, how do you do it all? And my answer is I don't. You know, I can't. At one point, I made a conscious decision that if you try to do it all, as Amy said, you've got balls in the air, something's going to drop. So I'd prefer to choose what falls out the bottom rather than have that chosen by me, for me, by trying to do too much.
Well, Barbie, now, your position is CEO, COO. You're with, what is it, Picor Realty?
Right.
Right. In terms of commercial real estate, how specifically does that apply?
Well, when you're in a leadership position, you got there because you thrive on doing more, making a difference. And so, I think all of us have a tendency to take it on, and that may be internal company leadership roles, community industry leadership roles, community involvement, and you have a partner relationship, you have a relationship with your children, if you have children, you have what usually falls to the bottom for us is taking care of ourselves, and so it becomes about prioritization and choices. When you're at a certain point in your career, if you have young children at home, you may not be doing the 5 p.m. networking happy hours because it's homework time. So there are different choices that you make at different times depending on what role and priority is most important.
Anybody else have a comment right now before I jump in?
I guess just specific to this field, I think there's so many different career paths in commercial real estate. They're all somewhat specific to their profession. For instance, in architecture, we have parity for women at the university level, and I think in a lot of ways, 60% of women, as we've seen before, are getting master's degrees. So women are getting educated to a certain level, and we're not all able to achieve kind of the potential that we have. And what the issue is, it varies by the professional path. So in architecture, we're probably about 20-22% of women in leadership, even though we've had parity at the university level. And it's really about the changing needs in the culture of, where the deals are needing to be made and how women are contributing to their careers. So do we all as architects need to be working until midnight? No, we can be working in different parts of the profession in different ways. From a commercial real estate standpoint, there's a lot of entrepreneurial options in the various career paths, and so there's a variety of ways that we can find balance within commercial real estate, and women just need to step up more to it.
Okay, we'll be back with more from our guests right after this message.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockcre.com.
Manage a shopping center? Always looking for new ideas? Tactics. Tactics Magazine is the idea magazine for shopping center marketing directors all over the world. Exciting promotions, gift with purchase programs, and full-blown ad campaigns. Every edition of Tactics is packed with features, ideas, and news you can use to get the word out and grow your numbers. How can you manage a shopping center without your tactics? Log on to tacticsmagazine.com. Today would be good. tacticsmagazine.com.
Whoops, sorry about that. There are too many buttons for me to push. Welcome back to CRE Radio, talking about getting back to the art of balance. I'm going to skip a little bit right now, and we're going to, I don't know if it's the right time, but in just listening to you at this point in time, I have to ask the question, are we talking about things that are different for women than men? Who would like to start? Raise your hand. Okay, Barbie, you're first.
I've been volunteered.
Yes. Yeah, I saw you step forward.
Absolutely. I don't think we can ignore that there are differences between men and women, certainly basic differences. And so the answer has to be yes. Do you have a direction that you're going with regards to the industry?
I could tell you that from my perspective, if you talk about balance, you want to get home, you want to do homework for the kids. You for a guy, a guy wants the same things, and I can't seem to ever find the balance myself. It's a constant battle for me. So everything that you're talking about, I experience also, but I think perhaps I experience in a different way. Maybe we ought to just go right to the issue. We know that there are physical differences. Perhaps we should call them biological imperatives of motherhood. Amy, why don't you give us some thoughts on the, you know, what the biological imperatives of motherhood are as compared to men?
Well, I think, you know, obviously one of the biggest issues is having children. And when women are having children is typically at a key point in their career path when they need to be contributing more to their career to make it to the next step. And so obviously we have to take time off to physically have the child. And then there's a personal decision that has to be made on how quickly you come back and if you come back or you know, how you can balance the loads of the emotional and physical needs of motherhood. And a lot of that has to do with setting up the priorities and the discussion with your partner early on, even maybe before you consider marrying that individual, because that person will have that impact on your life. But I think it's also part of, I keep going back to the culture of our professions and making sure that it's okay that people can take some time off and finding ways for them to get back on track once they're ready to come back. So that is a physical issue that women do have to deal with much more so than men. I would say that men still, and particularly in the generations coming and in my generation, I think men want to be more involved than they have historically in, you know, the very early stages of raising kids. And so whether it's, you know, paternity leave or it's just time off and being okay that you're not working that extra hour than the guy next to you, I think we all have to kind of think about it more broadly, that it's a family issue. It's a kind of a cultural issue of that goes beyond commercial real estate, but, you know, specific to what we're talking today, we should be thinking about. Because otherwise we're going to lose people of all talent levels, whether they're men or women, and we're not going to be, you know, doing the best work we can all do. So it is, you know, primarily women, but I think it's both.
I would agree with that. This is Miriam talking. I think that it is definitely a family planning issue. If I think back of my own situation when I got pregnant, I basically had this conversation early on with my employer to say, well, this is coming up, and this is how I see it working. So I gave away some of my responsibilities because obviously I would be at home with an infant. So I got somebody who could do a lot of the writing, a lot of the coordination, and then I kept a very small portion of sort of the oversight role that I had so that I would still feel connected but without needing to be there every day. And then when our child did come, what my husband and I decided to do was that each one of us would take a day to be at home with him so that when I went back to work, I was there Tuesday to Friday and my husband, so that I could have the Monday off to be at home with my child. And then my husband took the Friday off so that we had our child in care for 3 days and then we each had a day at home with him. So we felt that way, that it was really the two partners deciding how is this going to work for our family. We want our child to be around mom as much as around dad. And this is sort of how we went about it. So I think there's a lot of early planning that needs to be done and discussions and really communicating the fact that you do want to have a little bit of that balance. Because if you don't communicate that early enough, I think that's where you get into the sort of set patterns or set roles. Even that's not really what you're thinking. So if you plan that in advance, then I think there is a way that you can arrange your life around that.
Well, Barbie, is there in commercial real estate, is there a culture? William, what has the culture been and what is it now?
The brokerage business itself is very entrepreneurial and a culture of self-starter. There's flexibility inherent in it, which should be good for women. But I'm not sure that barrier has totally been bridged.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, just it's interesting culturally. And of course, commercial real estate is much broader than the brokerage business itself. You've certainly got other disciplines like architecture, property management, law, publishing, you name it. But I think that just to go back to the last conversation around these support systems and decisions you make about how you approach childbirth and child rearing and how that fits into the family. We can't step over women in the industry that are balancing, that don't have children, that don't have a spouse or a partner or a supportive spouse, that may be single parents. There are a whole number of scenarios that require a different approach.
Well, I think that the conversation is based upon that there are inherent physical differences between men and women. But you can group into the conversation older individuals, whether male or female, that have to take care of parents. I had to do that. And if it wasn't for my wife, sure. If my wife wasn't helping me out, I think I would have shot myself. You know, so to some extent you experience it, but when you're talking about family, I perceive that there should be absolutely no difference in terms of opportunities and anything else between men and women if you don't have the children or family issue. I don't see why there should be a difference. Does anybody disagree with me?
No, I agree.
No.
I mean, culturally, the big picture societal support systems can do more, I think, to recognize the importance of each partner's role in raising children, raising families, and those folks becoming a productive part of the workforce.
I would agree with that, because very often if you're dealing, whether it's the daycare, the school, an after-care program, automatically it's assumed that the mother is the first point of contact. In some forms, they don't even ask for a second one. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But I think it's true that it requires the whole community to see things differently, because there are a lot of fathers out there who want to be considered on the same equal footing as their partners when it comes to taking care of their children. And it'll take that shift, I think, to make these things happen.
I'd like to talk.
Yeah, and I do think it, and just one thing, I do think it is shifting so that it's much more encouraging for us both to be involved with our children's lives. And, you know, I think it's not so much as maybe it used to be, where when a man was leaving work to attend a ball game, it was like, oh, look at him, he's a great father. But when a woman was leaving, it was like, oh, there she goes again. You know, I don't think that's happening as much as it used to. But that, I think, is one of those cultural shifts that is starting to happen. And I think it's just to the next level of how we make sure that when we're, you know, when we're having an after hours, that we all feel comfortable at a table, you know, that men aren't just talking to men and women are talking to men. And so that's part of that cultural conversation, I think, is in process.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'd like to talk about that a little bit more as soon as we come back. You're listening to The Art of Balance on CRE Radio. We'll be right back.
If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today. What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site, PopUpInsider.com. For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or via email to questions@CREradio.com.
We're glad to have you with us today. Before the break, we were talking about cultural issues, particularly in commercial real estate, that may affect how women and men deal with this balance issue. However, right now that we're back, I just found out that the boss is on the line, so I'd like to bring her in and let her ask her question, or I'll be very uncomfortable. Joanne, what was your question?
First of all, I'm not the boss. This is equality here, and this topic is very near and dear to my heart. So, Barbie, Miriam, Amy, thank you for your great comments. I'm a headhunter, and my industry for years has been very male-dominated. And you talk about, you know, the balance, your priorities. You know, number one to me is my family, but I also have built up my career over 18 years. And that's a commitment that I feel very strong about, too. What comes to mind is a personality type. I know a lot of people are stay-at-home moms. They have no interest in having a career. Their whole life is raising the kids and being a homemaker. And then there are people like me and like you, Barbie, Miriam, and Amy, where we're basically multitaskers. You know, the family is important. Balance is important, and our priorities are important, too. But it's kind of ironic, because in my business, for years, probably until recently, the majority of my clients are men. So if I were to tell them, you know, I'm taking some time off maternity leave, and I definitely will be here and will be headhunting when I get back, if I had told them that 3 kids later, they would think I'd take a couple years off and I'm not serious, I'm not going to come back, and I'm going to focus on raising my children. So for me personally in my industry, I could never tell them I was in labor, had to leave, go to the hospital, and a day later back on my desk. And it was, you know, unfortunate, but that's the way that a lot of my clients had felt, that if I did take some time off, that's it, she's gone for a couple of years. So, unfortunately for my scenario, I did not tell them, and a day or so later, I'm back at my home office and recruiting away, and, 18 years later, here I am. But the system, the support system is critical, and fortunately for me, Howard is as supportive as he can be, although I kind of take the ball and run with it. That's just my temperament personality. With all due respect, Howard, but it's...
Oh, I'm sorry. We can't hear you, Joanne. There's something wrong with your connection.
It's also the personality of the individual. I mean, you're right about physical and emotional types, and they definitely have a part in this, too. But the support system is very critical, and I have a good friend of mine who's a single parent to 2 twin boys, 14, and I don't know how she does it, because if I didn't have that emotional support, I don't know what I would do. Yeah. But even in my industry, if I were to tell them, hey, I'm taking off for a couple days or a couple weeks, going to have a child and I'll be back, they would not believe that. They would think I'd take a year off and I wouldn't be available, and therefore I'd lose my business that I built up all these
Sweetheart,
years.
Sweetheart, would I get in trouble if I cut you off now?
Well, actually, I think it was, Barbie that had a question?
Yes, go ahead. Would you like to take over the switchboard here?
Not to control your radio show, Howard, but this is a great topic. I'd love to hear anybody's question or comment, and I think it was Barbie, wasn't it, or Amy?
Yeah, it's me. Joanne, I think you're dancing around the edges of the mommy guilt issue.
No doubt. That's my middle name.
Yeah. But, what if, just play the devil's advocate, and if we all said, well, what if, rather than being afraid to tell it like it is, we did, would that help contribute to the cultural and societal shift that needs to happen? How much of what you fear is going to happen is your perception of what might happen because of guilt, and how much of it is the realities of the industry?
In my industry, is that Barbie or is that Amy?
It was Barbie.
Barbie. In my industry and knowing my client, there's no question in my mind. I mean, I'm not going to be having any more children. I'm done. So I even tell them now, hey, you guys didn't know I was in labor on the phone with you. And my husband's yelling in the background, get to the hospital. But in my industry and my particular client, which is the majority of my business, there's no question in my mind that if I shared that with them, I would lose the business that I built up over
Barbie,
here.
Barbie, how did you handle that?
Well, it's interesting. I work for a CEO who's been my mentor for many years who has never been afraid of women leaving the industry temporarily to have children because he knows historically the likelihood that they'll come back and be productive is very high versus somebody who might have the potential to get married and move away because of the trailing spouse issue. So I haven't been in that environment where there's been any fear of reprisal or concern that you won't return to being productive.
And well, they know my personality, but they don't know how I would be,
sweetheart,
when once I had children. And we laugh at that now. And I would tell them, you know, I was in labor on the phone with you. Ha ha, you didn't know. But that's me, though. That's my personality, too.
So
I just have to finish what I have to finish and then go to the hospital.
Joanne, do you mind if I interrupt you? This is Amy.
Oh,
I just want to comment on this a little bit because one of the recent crew conventions, it was about risk. It was about taking risks. And I think that research is showing that women might be more risk adverse. We're less likely to kind of raise our hand and take that chance. And I think that is part of, again, this cultural change that we all have to think about. Guilt for me came internally. I have had to let go. I have had to say, I'm going to be just great with how well my husband cleans my kitchen floor because he's doing it and that's amazing and I'm okay with how he does it. I'm going to have to be okay with saying no and saying I can't go on for this leadership position right now in my life. I need to focus on these other things. Although I know I would love to do it and I could contribute to it, I need to say no right now. And I think there is this balance of figuring out when to do what. I mean, I was raised, honestly, to think I could do whatever I wanted. That I was smart enough, if I wanted to, I could do it. And so I went after it. And what I found, and I think we're all finding, we can't do it all at once. We have to make those trade-offs as we go along. And over the course of my life, my goal isn't one thing or the other. It's to have a fulfilled life. And it includes my friends, my family, my church, and my career. And that's, you know, I don't know what the order is exactly. And I'm hoping they all reach the goals that I set for them over the course of my life. And so I like to think about it that way. Right now, I'm focused on career probably a little bit more than family. And, you know, that's maybe not quite where it should be. But in a couple of years, maybe I'll refocus more on family when they're really in the throes of softball tournaments and baseball tournaments. Right now, they're little, so I can focus a little more time on career. So that's how I look at it.
Well, Joanne, go ahead, Miriam. We're going to need to take a break right after you.
I think Amy and Barb made a very good point about having sometimes to have the courage to express where you're at and what you're doing, what you're trying to balance. And I find that begins in the home. Again, I've learned this over the years when I was a little bit younger and my child was smaller. I thought that when I came home, I was in mummy mode and everything involved about the family, the home, and all of that. And then I realized that if I want to truly achieve this balance, I have to start communicating like someone who wants to achieve the balance. So when I come home, just like my husband does, if there's something at work that's happened that was particularly eventful and that I wanted to share with someone, then I would feel comfortable now saying, hey, this is what happened at the office. This is the issue I'm having. My husband might say, oh, well, I just had the same thing a month ago, or, hey, great for bringing this up. This might help me in my own management. And I think that when you start actually living out outwardly what's going on internally, it gets you further. And it helps other people understand that you have these different aspects to your life and that they're all as important. And as Amy was saying, there's a lot of things that we want to achieve, and we're pursuing all of them in parallel ways. And if you don't silence any of them because of the context, I think it brings all of us forward.
You know, Sheryl Sandberg raised an issue in her book, Leaving Work Before You Need to Leave, and Joanne kind of touched on that. And as soon as we come back from hearing from our sponsors, I'd like to talk about that a little bit.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Block CRE. Built by brokers, for brokers, Building Block CRE is the best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more, easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockscre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Block CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. Log on to blockscre.com.
The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today. If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today.
Welcome back to CRE Radio. We're talking about the art of balance with Amy Slattery, Miriam Boget, and Barbie Reuter. And I did do that correctly, I believe. Before we took the break, I had mentioned something about the book Leaning In and the comments in that book about leaving work before you need to leave. And one of the things that Sheryl Sandberg says is that she believes women make one big decision to leave the workforce or many decisions along the way. What are your thoughts on that? Why don't we start out with Miriam?
Now, when you say leaving earlier, what do you mean by that specifically?
Well, I think that what Sheryl Sandberg is talking about is at some point a woman might decide, hey, you know what, I want to have children and I'm going to plan a family, therefore I'm not going to take on certain responsibilities long before she actually becomes pregnant. And that has a negative effect upon her advancement and her career. I think that's what she's referring to.
I would agree with that. I think that if you want to have choices, you need to first show that you can make a contribution that's valuable to whatever career you're in, whatever organization that you're working for. And if you have already sort of slowed down your path in anticipation of something that hasn't occurred yet, I think it is going to hurt you in the long run. I think a smarter choice would be to pursue the career that you want to pursue, and once you get close to the time when you actually need to leave, you will have already had a bit of a track record. You will have shown what kind of work ethic you have, what responsibilities you can handle, and then you can be actually the one to decide how things are going to go when you do leave. And there's a much better chance that your environment will accommodate that because you will already be an active participant. If you start making those choices way too early, I think I wouldn't consider that a very good move. I'm not sure how the other two would feel about that.
Yeah, Barbie,
Miriam's spot on with what Sheryl Sandberg's recommendation is in the book. So you nailed it, Miriam. How did I handle it? I would have to say that for most women, it may often be a series of small decisions that may even be made subconsciously. I'm not sure how conscious all of those decisions are. I don't feel like I did that personally. I think more on the back end, there might be surprises for women. You have an expectation going into starting to raise a family. I think in my case, when you're younger, you know, I'm going to do X when the baby's born. And for me, that was I'm going to go right back to work. And with my first child, I did. And so I had a maternity leave and a great time, and decided after coming back that I really needed to reframe that, and fortunately was in a position where I could, and like Miriam, negotiated a different work schedule, worked a four-day work week for a couple of years. And when I had my second child, I expected I would approach it the same way as my first because I had been there and done that. And I'm not sure that depending on where you are in your life, your career, your family circumstance, it's not always the same. And I, with my second child, worked part-time for an extended period of time. And that's when one of the other panelists mentioned changing your hat when you come in the door. Was that you, Miriam?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I found it very challenging because I wasn't 100% in one place or the other. I always felt I had one foot at home and one foot in the office, and I wasn't, back to the guilt thing, giving them both my all. So it was almost a relief to go back to work full time when I did.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Amy.
Like I said earlier, I was raised to think I could do it all. So I kind of was barreling ahead down career path and then realized, oh, I probably should have kids. And and it happened to work out. And what I had to do was step down from several things or step aside or let things kind of lie fallow for a year or two and then step back in. And I think that more of my peers potentially are thinking about what's ahead and maybe not stepping up as much as they could be. And so I personally don't think I stepped aside or made choices specific to having kids, but once I did, I had to adjust and kind of reprioritize. But I do think that as women, we do have to consider all of these things. There is kind of a biological clock that we need to be cognizant of if we want to have children. And I've had too many friends who've had struggles having children because they waited maybe too long for their bodies. And so it's a delicate balance of keeping things in perspective, but making sure you're not taking yourself out of the conversation while you're doing it. I wish we all could be so lucky that we can have it all at once, but we really have to keep it all moving forward.
And I think
so
also
women should. Why don't we talk about that as soon as we come back? I just wanted to mention women have to pay, should be considering these issues. When we come back, I would like to talk a little bit about whether or not employers should be considering these issues also. And I think that's very, very important. And there may be some agreement or disagreement on that, but at least we should talk about that. So we'll be right back.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to prospectnow.com and enter the promotion code Howard.
That's prospectnow.com.
Manage a shopping center? Always looking for new ideas? Tactics. Tactics Magazine is the idea magazine for shopping center marketing directors all over the world. Exciting promotions, gift with purchase programs, and full-blown ad campaigns. Every edition of Tactics is packed with features, ideas, and news you can use to get the word out and grow your numbers. How can you manage a shopping center without your tactics? Log on to tacticsmagazine.com. Today would be good. Tacticsmagazine.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @creradio or via email to questions@creradio.com.
Welcome back to CRE Radio. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about how women should consider all of the issues that might relate to the family at certain periods of time in her career. What about the employer? Should the employer be paying attention to that? I know that this is not a popular thing to talk about, but does it make a difference when you're working with someone if you know that they're going to be around part-time or full-time? Barbie, you're in a CEO, COO position. Why don't you start with that?
Sure, Howard. I think company leaders, we included, have an opportunity to create a culture that's supportive of people who bring value to the organization. And that involves flexibility, that involves eliminating any of this perceived fear around taking time off or off-ramping, as Sheryl Sandberg calls it. And your culture is created by history, and so how you handle as a company or an environment somebody's decisions can set a precedent, positive or negative.
Well, should there ever be times where the employer should be considering whether or not the woman is planning on having a family?
This is Amy. I think it's more about, again, providing options and making options equal. And I know the idea of part-time work or working remotely is somewhat based upon trust, but having policies in place that allow for options to be discussed so that women can ease back in from maternity leave or provide value to the company in another way, maybe an alternate way than she was previously. I've worked with a gentleman actually with Weidlinger. He's an engineering firm in New York, and their biggest concern is in retaining those really valued employees and keeping them and having it open so that they want to come back after they have their child, that their time is just as valuable at work as it is perceived to be at home. And I think that's, you know, what employers should be looking for is how you value your employees and show that they are important to the bottom line of the company and the successful future of the company. And, you know, that's all individual and up to the specific business each firm is in. But I think having the options and the dialogue as part of the policy is the first step to making that a reality for women.
Yeah, and I think...
Go ahead, Marion.
Yes, and I think it, from a purely business standpoint, I think it does improve the company's bottom line when they do retain people who have a history, who have an understanding of where the company's going, who know what works, what doesn't work, which, how business groups work together. If you have to retrain people to learn that each time, that's a lot of time and money that's lost. And having somebody who's willing to come back and share that knowledge, maybe mentor some new people who eventually will integrate the company and take on more responsibilities is extremely valuable. And if you can create an environment in which people do have that option, in the end, I think it's beneficial to the company itself.
I think that it goes back to that issue that Sheryl Sandberg raised, which was don't leave until you're ready to leave, but it's the other side of the issue. The culture in the company really should be, look, do not anticipate that you're going to have a family and therefore hold yourself back. And then from the employer's perspective, don't anticipate that just because the woman is in childbearing, at childbearing age, that she's going to have a family and hold back her progression in her career. You know, when she becomes pregnant, and if she is a valuable employee and member of the team, then you work it out.
Agreed. And we see people leave the workforce for equivalent periods of time for not just having a child, but having a joint replacement or, you know, a particular surgery. And it's a broader issue than just child rearing. But we seem perceptually, I think, to treat that differently.
Well, there's probably that. There's probably that prejudice built in with anybody over the age of 45 anyhow. So this actually could be an age thing, too, just as equally.
But I also think that part of the issue is that a lot of employers will think that if a woman goes off on maternity leave, that somehow her skills will get rusty and that she will come back a different person who's maybe not as gung-ho to chase that contract or work the extra hour. But if you really look at what they actually do while they're on maternity leave, if you are a driven person in your career before you go off to have children, chances are that when you're off, you're still doing things. You're probably the one deciding to get involved at the daycare and remanage it, or maybe you decide that you're going to spend a little bit more time working on a board of a charity where you still have some contacts. A lot of business people on boards of large charitable organizations, you don't stop being intellectually active because you're home with your children. And I think that's a bit of a stereotype that probably needs to be addressed as well. And when you come back, very often you've been doing things while you were away. You just weren't doing it in the same fashion or in the same role. So I think there is sometimes a value to getting these people back into the company because they may have very well expanded their network. Maybe they're active on LinkedIn. Maybe they've decided to start Twittering, whatever is suitable for them. But I think there's a lot of value in the time that they spend away as well.
I think that's a very, very important issue. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about certain solutions and what you can do when you're gone and you're not working or you're not working full time. I think that I see that that is a major issue and something that should also be ingrained. And we'll talk about whether or not the companies can help out with that as soon as we get back.
Do more business with your biggest clients. Techniques Marketing has perfected exciting new ways to increase your revenue with all your key accounts, way beyond trial and error. And we've done it with some of the biggest companies in America. Look, if you're happy with your numbers, great. If not, let's talk. Visit TechniquesMarketing.com. TECH, that's the tech. NIQUES, there you've got the Neeks. TechniquesMarketing.com. If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today.
Okay, welcome back to CRE Radio. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about keeping yourself active or the things that you could do while you're working part-time or not even working at all and you're working at home. Amy, what did you do when you weren't working, when you took time off on maternity leave?
Well, it varied between my two children. My seven-year-old, I left and had a full 3 months of maternity, and then I came back after 3 months and then worked part-time for about a year and a half, which was, I think it varied between 20 and 30 hours a week, and then came back full-time. And my employer was very flexible. We were able to get full benefits while we worked part-time. We actually were able to go hourly and kind of step back our responsibility, so we were hourly. I was provided a laptop and could work remotely. So those were some of the things that allowed that to work out well. with my daughter, it was during the downturn. We were already working on, you know, a lot of reduced pay, and it was important to be in the office, to be around. And so I really worked somewhat during my maternity leave, but was more kind of just staying in touch with the project, and then came back 2 months part-time and then back full-time. So it was very different because of the economy. And it was much more stressful, frankly. It was a tougher time, but there were many things happening, especially in the architecture industry, of staying relevant and staying in front of everybody was very important. I think that's one of the hardest things, is that face time and finding ways to continue that, because when you're seen, you're thought of for that next opportunity. And so that's one of the things that both an employee and an employer need to balance.
Well, as a real estate broker, just as an example, FaceTime is very important. Can you be a commercial real estate broker and just stay in the house and not work?
I can't imagine.
Yeah, you can't do that. So FaceTime at the broker's office isn't necessary, but you've got to be out in the field. You've got to be out doing that. If you're going to take the time off, I suppose it's extremely important to keep yourself active, as Miriam said, and you've got to be doing things. You've got to be emotionally active. You've got to be active doing something where you don't lose touch.
Well, certainly, Howard, if you're in a sales position in any aspect of the business, unless you're part of a team that provides that support, you need to maintain relationships. And that can be done a variety of different ways.
Mm-hmm. Such as?
Well, some of that's FaceTime and communication in other ways, but it doesn't have to be 8-to-5.
But it's part of a team. So the team is important, and that is something that the employer can help out with, isn't it?
Surely.
I mean, I think it's things like valuing and leveraging social media and things like LinkedIn to continue that network. I mean, Crew Network has their internal networking platform called Crew Biz. That's a really great way to connect. But I think, you know, especially even when you come back and you're maybe full-time, the idea of being careful of working around schedules and not necessarily scheduling 7 a.m. meetings if you know a certain coworker needs to drop off the kids every morning. I mean, it's kind of almost being considerate and finding ways to get the team together at appropriate times that allow everybody to be there and to be at the table and contribute.
Amy had, in our pre-show interview, Amy had mentioned something about changing the culture, including, as part of that, changing where deals are made. Maybe golf course, bar, after hours, and networking events. That needs to be changed. Did I misinterpret what you said, Amy?
No, and I think like we were starting to talk about earlier, is that is in progress. I think that is evolving. That I think it's less of a boys club, but that attitude, depending on your market, actually is still somewhat there. And it because it is relationship, and especially in the senior levels, there's not as many women right now making the big deals and making those connections. We need to find ways to encourage women to step up and into that, and making those deals happen in a professional location, in a more of an open atmosphere. I mean, when we talk about things like things that hold women back, it's been discussed, and studies have shown things like sponsorship and mentorship are key issues. And making it comfortable for a senior-level man to mentor a younger or emerging leader who happens to be a woman, that's something that we have to allow room for that. So that needs to happen in an open way that isn't going to cause concern or perception issues. And so I think that's evolving, and I think it just needs to be, again, the dialogue between men and women in the industry, and for everybody to be cognizant of it and be intentional about making sure that we're working towards diversity in this industry.
And I also think that it's providing the flexibility for people in the workplace in general, because some of the hurdles have also come from employees who are not women, who do not have children, who will feel a little resentful if a special deal will be made with a certain employee because it is a woman who has young children. So if you say to everyone, if you have something that's extremely important in your life for which you need a little flexibility, maybe you coach on a baseball team, maybe you're involved as a charity fundraiser, whatever thing in your personal life that brings you something of value and makes you who you are, if you're going to be supportive of that, then be supportive of it for everyone in the workplace. Then it makes it a lot easier to say, well, this person is going off on maternity leave. How are we going to make this work for our team? And if you can do that, I think you'll get a lot less resentment and more cooperation.
That's well said.
I see. Now I've got this issue about changing the culture. Actually, Amy, you refined your comments a little bit in that, yeah, if the after hours is really part of the old boys network, that's one thing. And I think that unequivocally that should stop. But doesn't it, since particularly sales and upper level management is very much a relationship issue, doesn't anyone who has the opportunity to develop those personal relationships, whether it be male or female, don't they have an advantage over someone who doesn't have the time to go meet for dinner or go to networking events, etc.?
Oh, yeah, I think time is a huge issue. It's probably the number one issue in all this conversation because there's not enough hours in a day. But I think that some of that is time management. Some of that is, again, understanding that maybe for this year or these next few years, I won't be able to move forward my career and I'll have to table it and do it at another time. I think the culture can't really change for those specific things. You still have to be able to be about developing relationships, and everybody just needs to be able to set their own goals at how quickly they're going to rise to the top based on their relationships and the deals that they make. And I think it might perhaps take someone longer, whether it's a man or a woman who has family, because they have other things. But relationships are built off of family time as well, you know, your friends of your kids, et cetera, et cetera. It's looking for the opportunity wherever you're at. And so there's a couple things there, but the real issue of cultural change has to do more with the environment and the expectation, and not always perceiving a woman as a support person, but possibly a place where a deal can be found and made. And I think that has to do with exposing the success of women and showing how women can lead and having conversations like this that increase the dialogue and make it more than just a women's issue, but more about this industry's issue.
And to your question, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think Sheryl Sandberg said in a book, or I'm not sure if it was in her book or I heard it somewhere else, that she actually started having some meetings at her home. Now, I don't know if you want to bring business to the house. That may be a negative thing, but that's one of the ways that she dealt with those kind of issues.
And to your question, Howard, yeah, I mean, you're talking about, is there a disadvantage if you're not spending the time in some of those more traditional networking opportunities? And relationship building and networking can happen a myriad places beyond happy hour, and it requires some creativity, but that can really be individualized to your schedule and pursuit.
Yeah. You're listening to CRE Radio. Please stay tuned. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about where this cultural change should occur. Should we be talking about it now, or should this be talked at a much earlier stage?
What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail. And it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com. Create your own account. Market your empty spaces or view available locations for your business. All on one convenient site. PopUpInsider.com. For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @creradio or via email to questions@creradio.com.
Welcome back to CRE Radio. Let's talk about where and when the conversation should occur. Barbie, why don't you start?
Oh, you're going to call me out. Let's see. Where and when the conversation should occur about... Get more specific.
Okay. All right. I had mentioned in the outline that, you know, the conversation... I think the conversation should start probably at the moment of birth or thereafter. Certainly... That conversation should be in elementary school. What are your thoughts on that?
I think what you're saying is, are we raising children, girls, to become women that have an expectation that they can have a balanced life? Is that, am I on the right path here?
I think, to me, and I had mentioned this before, I have a background where my mother was a career woman. She was very strong, et cetera. So it was something that was just normal and acceptable to me. It wasn't an issue. But I think in the schools, that's not what was taught in the schools. That wasn't the attitude in the schools. I'm not talking about in college. I'm talking about as early as elementary school. I think that the conversation should be start as early as that and should be established there.
I think you're onto something.
Well, I think that's where the cultural issue is going to change, not just in the family life, but the whole attitude. Miriam, why don't you add to that?
I would totally agree with that. I mean, I think as women, we sometimes get caught into talking about the good old boys club, and yet we raise our sons to perpetuate the same pattern. Mm-hmm. I think it does start in the home and how we present ourselves to our own children, to our spouses, to our friends, and it snowballs from there. So if we, let's say, have a child in preschool, that we have a discussion with our partner so that if there's a little play that they're presenting on a Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, that sometimes it's the mom who goes, sometimes it's the dad if he can and if she can. So that at every stage, you just have these little checks with each other so that you are actually living out what you're later going to be telling them when they're having actively these types of conversations with you. I think the pattern begins as early as that, is what do they see you do? That's why they always say children don't do as we say, they do as we do. And that's where it begins. And how you interact with teachers when it comes time to talking about activities, talking about who's the contact person. I think at every one of these points, you need to readjust maybe the expectations. And if we all do that, I think you will see some ripple effect. And also as women who are in careers, how we mentor younger women in our offices, how do we make sure that there is that expectation that they can do both? How do we facilitate it? If there are children in high school who come for just a day to shadow you, how do you communicate with them? How do you question them about what they want to do later? Do you assume that what they have in their head is more which boy they're going to take to the prom, or is it which career path they're on? I think in all of those different areas, we have a lot of opportunities to move things forward.
That's really what I'm getting to. And as I said, I grew up in a liberal environment. But you know what? As I live my life, I don't live my life exactly like that. If you asked me, I mean, the three of you all have described to me wonderful husbands who are so wonderful that I'm totally humbled at how supportive. No, seriously, this is no BS here. I'm going like, I'm nowhere near as good as they are. And I'm going, well, gosh, you know what? I didn't have that picture in my head as I grew up. And I think that the only way that you're going to get someone like me, you know, 50 years from now, to actually buy in, not just say I agree, but actually to buy in and walk the walk and talk the talk, is by starting that early on. And if I have any criticism, I don't see that happening. I see a lot of women talking to other women who believe the same thing, but that we really have to go to the base level, TV shows, radio shows, elementary school, and portray perhaps family lives more like yours.
Well, I don't think any of us are suggesting that it is a smooth path and that there is no struggle and no readjustments that need to be made. But I think we're all quite driven in trying to achieve as much of that balance as we can. It doesn't mean that it occurs naturally or that there are never any discussions. It just means that there is a certain focus on maintaining it. I don't think it happens that easily. I mean, that's what my experience has been. I'm not sure about Amy and Barbie, but
yeah, and I trial and error.
I would agree because I think that's why we started this conversation. Is it about balance? Is it about, you know, trade-offs? And it is that we have to be intentional. That society currently isn't set up for this to be easy. There are plenty of stay-at-home mothers who are doing a wonderful job of doing everything that I wish I had time to do. And there are plenty of people that I see succeeding in their career doing more than I would love to be able to do. And I think it is, we have to kind of choose our battles and decide who we as individuals, what our level of success will be. And I agree with all of you. I think it has to start early. I was terrified of having a daughter after having all these conversations of women and women's roles as leaders. And so I found this book that Peggy Orenstein wrote, that Cinderella Ate My Daughter. And it really set a great perspective. I read it while I was pregnant with her. And it was very much about how to keep everything at bay and to be suspect of media and to try to be having it an open conversation. And she's three now, and we still have to talk about that mommies can be doctors too, and doesn't daddy cook dinner well? You know, I mean, it's very much, they see it as an early age. They see the differences already. And, you know, we went to a women's soccer game last weekend so that they could see women on a field instead of men. And we have to be intentional because right now society isn't. And I think the goal is that when she's, you know, 35, that she has all the options and it isn't as hard for her. She doesn't have to be as intentional. And, you know, that's why, again, that's why we organize groups like Crew. That's why we have these conversations, because I think we're trying to make it better and so that we can move us all forward.
Yeah, I think that leads us to the final question of the show. Is this a revolution or is it an evolution? And since I'm by far the oldest person on this show, I will tell you that going back as far as I know to the 50s, that's the 1950s, by the way, I see it has been a revolution. I don't think it has been an evolution. The change that has occurred just in the last 30 or 40 years as a professional. If you go to Recon, this year versus 3 years ago, the amount of women at Recon was, it did not look like an old boys network. There was a huge difference just in the last 3 years. So where do you see it going over the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years? And do you see it as an evolution or revolution? Miriam, why don't you start?
I think I see it as different cycles. I think sometimes there are traumatic things that happen in society, whether it's a war or a natural disaster. And interestingly enough, very often when big shocking things happen, we tend to sometimes revert back into the old known pattern as an anchor. And I think we'll see a real big step forward when a comforting pattern is not necessarily a traditional one. So for me, I think it's an evolution, but one that sometimes has a few steps backwards and then propels you even further than you've reached before. That's sort of how I see it.
Amy?
Yeah, I feel like there's a real focus on it right now in the last few years specifically. I think it's turning into a more intense conversation, and I think it's because it's another one of those cycles where it's becoming more of a focus. I mean, when we started Women in Design in Kansas City in 2005, that year three other organizations popped up around the country without us knowing it, and we're now connecting. You know, between Sheryl Sandberg's book and several others in the last few years, it's becoming more of a focus. But I think this next generation specifically, they really don't see, they see themselves already as diverse. They don't see themselves as looking at each other as man or woman or black or white. They see a person. And I think that's part of it as well, is that it's going to become, it's going to evolve into a non-issue. And right now, we're kind of raising the flags a little more rapidly because we want it to move faster than it's evolving. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're kind of in that process, and I'm surprised at how many conversations like this we've had over the last few years. And hopefully it'll again evolve into being a non-issue.
Yeah, Barbie.
Yeah, well, I'd add first what a privilege it is to talk with these two women. I'm learning so much from. They're really terrific. And to the revolution-evolution discussion, I think there are elements of it perhaps that are revolutionary, but my pendulum swings more to evolution. When you talk about elements like equal pay, I think I read that we've gained a half a cent per year since the Equal Pay Act was enacted in 1963, so that's not exactly revolutionary. So that, yeah, I would definitely agree the conversation has intensified or escalated over the last year or two, and that's a good thing. It's certainly a step towards progress.
No, well, that's, I've got to really thank the three of you for participating in the conversation and allowing me to participate in the conversation also. You didn't have to be part of the show. I really feel, particularly after first speaking with Amy and then preparing this, that maybe I ought to do a show with each of your husbands. And I'm serious.
That would be interesting.
I know it sounds
no
silly.
Doubt.
But yeah, but I'm serious. It would be great to hear their perspective because they participate so much. And I'm excited to be part of this conversation. I don't get the pay issue. In my previous show that we talked about the glass ceiling, I didn't get it then. I don't see that there should be any conversation. Well, let me correct that. There should be conversation, but I don't see why there should be any discussion that women's salaries should be less than men. It's just, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't know how else to explain it. Again, I'd like to thank each of you. You've done a wonderful job. I'd love to have you back. As a matter of fact, there were so many things that we didn't have a chance to talk about. I'd like to invite you to come to the website and give additional comments. I'm going to write some additional things highlighting some of the comments in this show, and maybe we can get some other people to do that. Before we leave, I'd just like to mention that on July 26th, we are going to be doing a show on auctioning of notes, and we're going to have Robert Klein, who spells his name the same as me, and Eric Paulson, who's the co-CEO of auction.com, and we're going to be talking about how these auction sites actually auction notes rather than just real property. And we're going to be talking about, we have another show scheduled also on the accounting records and how all of that is changing. So ladies, I'd like to, again, once more, thank you very much. This is Howard Klein on CRE Radio. Hope to hear from you soon. Thank you very much.
Please listen again next time to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Every live and recorded broadcast is accessible on your desktop, tablet, or smartphone at creradio.com, or in iTunes, just search for CRE Radio. Here's how to reach us with your questions, feedback, and show topics you'd like to hear about. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@creradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue. CRE Radio broadcasts are presented on an informational basis only, with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our listeners. Howard and his guests' conversations specifically do not offer legal advice. If you need legal advice, please consult your own attorney. Portions of the show may have been pre-recorded. Unauthorized editing or copying of the show without the express written consent of CRE Radio is strictly prohibited. All rights reserved.
Okay, and that's a wrap.